Right. As we look at Ephesians chapter 1, and hopefully you have really been looking and studying over these books that we've covered thus far, including Ephesians. As we look at verse 22 through verse number 23 of these last two verses in chapter 1, we find he says, "And have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church." And then in verse number 23, he says, "Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now notice what he says. He says, "And put all things under his feet." He's talking about God has put this under Christ. And when you look at when he says his feet, this is a quote. If you go back to Psalms 8 and verse 6, in Psalms 8 and verse 6, and you'll begin to see what he says there. He says in Psalms 8 and verse 6, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." And so then he says, "And he gave him to be head over all things to the church." This means God appointed him head. He appointed him ruler over all things for the benefit of the church. Jesus is the divinely appointed ruler over the entire universe for the church benefit. And so we find that God has exalted Christ over everything. If you go look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 8. And this also, not only has he exalted Christ over everything, but that's also including his church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. Colossians 1 and verse 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18. So Christ is clearly the authoritative head, not source, because all things have been placed under his feet. So he is our exalted leader. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our High Priest. He is our life. For when you look at Acts chapter 17, Acts 17 and verse 28, Acts 17 and verse 28, he says, "For in him we live and move and have our very being, as certain as of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring." And so he is the head of the church. Who are we? Who are we? He is the creator of everything and everyone. Who are we? We are his creation. And there is no limit. There is no limit on time. As Paul said, that Christ will be supreme, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That is the eternal kingdom of Jesus. It's over there in chapter 2. In verse number 7, we'll be coming to that in a little bit in Ephesians 2 and verse 7. And so we see that as we go back and see, what we find is that he has put all things, talking about God, under his feet, talking about Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. And then in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And most importantly, As far as believers are concerned, God gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. Again, the fullness of him, which filleth all in all. Christ not only is the head of the church, but its fullness. And since he has such a unique and such a intimate relationship with the redeemed whom he loves, all his power will be used in their behalf to fulfill his loving purpose for them. He is completely over us. Now understand that. He is completely over us. He is completely in us. He's our supreme Lord, and he is our supreme power. His body, when you talk about his body is a metaphor for God's redeemed people and is used exclusively in the New Testament church. When you have time, read Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at that later on. Ephesians 4, verse 12 through 16. Ephesians 4, verse 12 through 16. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27. It talks about his body. And so Paul talks about his body there in Corinthians, and he talks about it here in Ephesians. And so this verse then explains why in verse 22, God made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. The church is in such an intimate relationship with him and is of such character that she is considered his own body. It feels good that Christ appointed ruler of the universe, and since he filleth the church with his own life and character, then she is a receptacle containing the grace and virtues of God himself. So we Christians are the church of the Lord Jesus. We are his bride. We are his habitation. He is the vine. We are the branches. He is the tree of life and the water of life. And he is the spiritual and the physical light of the world. And so the point of this great petition is that we might comprehend how secure we are in Christ and how unwavering and immutable is our hope of eternal inheritance. And so the power of glorification is invisible and is presently operative to bring us to glory. That's what it's all about. We have to acknowledge Christ as the head of the church. So you go back and read Ephesians chapter 1. And so as we begin to look in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, this chapter is one of the most important chapters because it focuses upon the life of a Christian. It discusses his past, his present, and his future. It shows what life was before Christ came and what it's like since he has come. It discusses what God has done for man in the work of his mercy and the gift of his grace. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, in the first 10 verses, Paul presents the past, the present, and the future of the Christian. In other words, he presents what he was in verse 1 through 3, what he is in verse 4 through 6, and verse 8 through 9, and what he will be in verse 7 and verse 10. So again, he presents what he was, verse 1 through 3, what he is, verse 4 through 6, verse 8 through 9, what he will be, verse 7 and verse 10. And so within this framework, he gives six aspects of salvation. We're going to see it is from sin, verse 1 through verse 3. It is from sin, verse 1 through verse 3. It's by love, verse 4. It's into life, verse 5. With a purpose, verse 6 and 7. Through faith, verse 8 and 9. Unto good works, verse 10. Let me say it again. Within this framework, he gives six aspects of salvation. Again, it is from sin, verse 1 through verse 3. It's by love, verse 4. Into life, verse 5. With a purpose, verse 6 and 7. Through faith, verse 8 and 9. And unto good works, in verse number 10. So let's look at it tonight. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, first of all, we just said salvation is from sin, which characterizes life before Christ. It characterizes life before Christ. In the first three verses, and ye have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now notice this. In the first three verses, there is perhaps no clearer statement in Scripture on the sinfulness of man apart from Christ. He says, and you have he quickened. Let's look at the word quickened. The word quickened means made alive. It means made alive. When you go back and look at Ephesians 1 and verse 19, and what is the excessive greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Paul prays for his readers to recognize what God's power has done in them. And I think that we need to recognize today what God's power has done in us. As part of the answer to this prayer from verse 1 through verse 10, it informs them of some of the effects divine might have accomplished in them. So let's look at it. When you look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we got to understand our situation. Our situation is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we understand in Romans 6, 23, that the wages of sin is death. Now, because man is born into sin, he is born to death. Man does not become spiritually dead because he sins. He is spiritually dead because by nature he is sinful. Let me say that again. Man does not become spiritually dead because he sins. He is spiritually dead because by nature he is sinful. When we are walking in our sin, unforgiving, we are marking time to death. Each day becomes a little more hopeless because it's one day closer to death. And so that's why we have to understand, if we have sinned, we need to ask God to forgive us of our sin. Because if we are going around sinful, still living in our sin, not asking for forgiveness of our sin, then we are one day closer to death. So that's why each day we need to live as though it is our last day on this earth. And we need to live in such a way that when God calls us, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to answer his call. We'll be ready to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So we have to understand, trespasses and sin bring physical and spiritual death. We're going to be looking at that. See, man's principal problem is that he has no right relationship to God, from whom he is alienated by sin. It has nothing to do with the way he lives. It has to do with the fact that he is dead, even while he is alive. So he is spiritually dead while being physically alive. Because he is dead to God, he is dead to spiritual life, truth, righteousness, inner peace, happiness, and ultimately to every other good thing. But watch this. Jesus took the punishment of death on his body on the cross and marked their bill paid in full. And that's what he's done for us today. When he died on the cross, he took our punishment and marked our bill paid in full. And so this is for all who would turn from their sin and accept him and obey him. In Romans 8 and verse 2, Romans 8 and verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In John 5 and verse 21, John 5 and verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Man apart from God are spiritual zombies. Let me say that again. Man apart from God are spiritual zombies, the walking dead, who do not know they are dead. They go through the motion of life, but they do not possess it. So he says, dead in trespasses and sins. This is a sobering reminder of the total sinfulness and lostness from which believers have been redeemed. It indicates the realm of spirit in which unregenerated sinners exist. They are not dead because of sinful acts that have been committed, but because of their sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature because all of us have sinned. And so committing sinful acts does not make us sinners. We commit sinful acts because we are sinners. And Jesus confirmed this when he said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, Matthew 12 and verse 35, the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And so it's good to know that Jesus is the Spirit of life. Though I were dead, he said, yet shall I live in him. Now understand, before we were saved, we were like every other person who is apart from God. Dead. And trust sin. Not sin, but because we were in sin. And so in this context, trespasses and sin do not refer simply to acts, but first of all to the sphere of existence of the person apart from God. And so he says, and ye have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now notice in verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now that worketh in the children of disobedience, in the state of spiritual death, the only walking, the only living a person can do is according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, when he talks about ye walked, he has reference to it means you lived. The course of this world, the word course, signifies all the tendencies, the thoughts, the pursuits, the deeds, and so on that characterizes the present period of history. And then he says this world means the world system. That is, those philosophies, those values, and the lifestyles that are opposed to God and hostile to Him. And as we look back over our lives, as we have become children of God, we can look back over our lives and realize that in time past, that we were walking according to the course of this world. We, according to the prince of the power of the air, we were working, we were the children of disobedience. And so Paul makes clear that the course of this world follows the leadership and the design of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Sinful men have many different ideals and standards, but they are in total agreement that the network of things in this world is more important than the divine perspective of God. But we need to understand God is more important than the world. And so when you are thinking this way, when you're living according to the course of this world, they are one mind because they have a common leader, and the Lord, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, is now the ruler of this world until the Lord cast him out, according to John chapter 12 and verse 31. John chapter 12 and verse 31, he is ruling until the Lord cast him out. In John 12, 31, and he will continue to rule. The power, the authority of the air, probably it refers to Satan's host of demons who exist. Don't you know Satan got some folk working for him? And so I hope we are not one of them, but Satan has people working for him. And so this world system is characterized by three elements. As we begin to close and we'll pick back up, the world system is characterized by three elements that we'll pick up on next week. And that is humanism, materialism, and illicit sex. Humanism, materialism, and illicit sex. Because humanism places man above all else. Materialism places high value in physical things, especially money. And illicit sex or sexual perversion dominates modern Western society as it has no other society since the lowest period of ancient Greece and Rome. And we're going to be looking, we'll talk about that just a little more on that. But I just want to just let you know that the world system, how it's characterized, and we'll talk about this a little more in our next segment. And so we're going to be closing out this, and we'll be opening up for prayer. Just thank you for listening once again on tonight.